keys. No need to hang on to what I no longer need. That old house is empty. It's a thing of the past. I don't need a rearview mirror, 'cause I ain't never looking back. No, I don't need a rearview mirror, 'cause I'm not ever looking back. I'm packing my bags, moving on to Hope Road. No stopping me now, 'cause I'm already sold. He's taking my life to a whole new zip code. I'm packing my bags. Oh, I'm packing my bags. Packing my bags, moving on. Oh, packing my bags, moving.
You can bust through those windows.
That's paid for by the blood of my savior. You can post it on the front door. I can see it in my mind. Gonna walk it with my feet. Let them all read.
You won't find me here no more.
I'm packing my bags, moving on to Hope Road. No stopping me now, 'cause I've already sold. He's taking my life to a whole new zip code.
Kia ora, kia ora. Welcome to Faith Matters. If you've landed anywhere today, I hope it's in our show. And I say ours because I've got Denise with me today, but not quite in the studio. I've got Denise. She's over Scotland way, and she's zooming in to be on the show today. And we're going to talk about her blog and some of her experiences. It's going to be a good one. Let's get into some sounds, and we're going to tune in after this one.
Can you hear? Are we clear? Clear for liftoff. Take off. For making reverberations. Are we affirmative? No negatory. Come in, come in. Radio, what's your story? A better Echo Victor. Feeling wider than awake. Yeah. Better quicker than straight. class or feel important. You are light. You are principle. When you love, invincible. Our shared life.
Here we are, Denise. Welcome, welcome, all the way from Scotland, I believe, or somewhere around there.
Yes, I am.
And tell me what. Okay, I had to put my headphones on. We're working this out. This is great. Oh, it's so good to see you and hear you. Tell me where you are.
I'm just glad.
Oh, sorry, go.
I'm in Glasgow.
Glasgow. Yeah, what time
I'm just
is
glad
it?
No one else can see me because it is 1 a.m. and so I'm wrapped up, half in my pajamas, half got clothes thrown on, and here I am.
Okay, so it's pretty cold over there? Or is it just because it's 1 o'clock in the morning?
It's just because I was trying to cover my pajamas.
So you've been, look, how long have you been away now? 3 weeks?
Yeah, longer than 3 weeks now. Three and a half. Yep, been a while.
It has been a while, and I've been keeping up with Denise. I'm pretty lucky that she's allowed me into her travels and seeing where she's going. And, yeah, I really enjoy catching up with the – I love the photos. There's some photos in there that I've just like, oh, they're boomers. You know, you've been carrying on with your blog as you're travelling. But tell me a little bit about the travels. How's that been?
It's been pretty amazing. I'm here with my mother and my sister, and we're kind of going places intentionally that are connected with our family. So some of them we just go to the place just to kind of get a feel for what it's like. But this last week we happened to have been up in just going on a tour around Scotland. It was just an easier way to travel to get us all around. The first week we had a car that we were travelling around ourselves. But this last week we've been, with tour guides telling us stories as we go, and so it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, and the weather, how's the weather been? Kind?
Well, we've had nice moments where it's been in the 20s, but recently, the last few days, it's been more like our winter was in New Zealand before we came away, so sort of highs of... We had one day it was a high of 13, it's been highs of 14, 15. We're now starting to get up again, so 16 today, and we're heading towards 17, and by the end of the weekend we're expecting to be back up 20 to 22-ish, which will be really nice.
Glasgow, eh?
No. We're up in the Highlands, so that was the typical misty, yeah, moody.
Oh,
and then suddenly bright sunshine, and then here comes the rain.
Do you think that's part of the Scottish personality? Quite changeable.
Yeah, well, it's,
I'm allowed to say
amazing.
That. I've got Scots in me. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But the other side of Scotland was a lot more. We found out that most of the filming that they do for Scotland is on the west coast, which is the craggy, moody side. Mm. But the other side of the country, when we drove through there, I was amazed just at the lack of rocks. It was just beautiful rolling downs, and some of them higher than others. But with all the heathers out at the moment because it's summer, purple hillsides, and it was beautiful.
Oh, it would be. So where was Braveheart filmed? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, we went actually to Bannockburn and to the memorials for Robert the Bruce, and then into Stirling Castle, and they've got this massive torpedo monument on another hill that you look across and see this big thing, and that's to William Wallace. So, yeah, we heard the stories, the real stories of Braveheart. Apparently there's a few little embellishments in the movie, let's say.
Yeah.
But, we heard that story a couple of days ago, which is cool too.
So we're going to head into your latest blog, which just came out this morning, I think, hot off the press.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It sure is. It was a day late. Sorry about that.
It's great. And it's called What a Shame, Moving to Acceptance. Now, I really think this is an amazing blog. There's so much in this. I really encourage people to look Denise up on Facebook. Is it still under just Denise Gardner?
Well, you can just go to my website, denise.nz.
There we go.
Then you can click through to Facebook, and then you'll get to the correct Facebook page if you happen to be a Facebook fan.
Mm. So, yeah, we'll do it that way. And check out her blogs. They are going to always give you food for thought, for sure. So this one, you're talking about your tour, and you were talking about the stories that are told through generations and how we've heard them and how, I don't want to read the blog because it's so long and it's so full, but I thought we'd kind of ease into it by maybe tell me about some of the stories that maybe you heard. Like you just said, it was emblemished a bit, you know, with
embellished.
Yeah, there we go. Not emblemished.
Can you imagine it? Let's blemish that.
That's a good one. There we go. You put me right, Denise. My English language. It's great. Okay. So that word. Tell me about the stories that you've heard, and maybe what the difference is that we hear it out here, but actually what the truth is.
Yeah, well, it's been really interesting. So, as I said a couple of days ago, we went to Stirling Castle. And so when you hear of – it was one of the ladies was dressed up in one of the rooms talking about tapestries and different things, and she just made the comment that, you know, you hear of, say, Scottish people being really quite dour and quite serious. And she said the Scottish people are not – dour and serious naturally. That's the Calvinist kind of aspect. There was a group that became that way, but because we only know about, we have that group portrayed to us as that's what Scottish are like. She's like, no way, that was full of colour and full of life and laughter and music back in the time of this castle's heyday. And yeah, so just little things like that.
Yeah,
we just don't know it because we've heard it from a different perspective of someone who's like, no, the Scottish are this way. And it's like, but are they?
Yeah, it's funny when you've got different blood running through your veins. When I look back on my history, I've got Scottish, Irish, French, and a little bit of gypsy in there. It doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so I don't live in Scotland. I wasn't born in Scotland, but my dad certainly brought through the Scottish heritage into our family. And growing up, my dad was a piper, and my brother became a piper, and I became a side drummer in the pipe band. And it was my introduction to Scottish Celtic music. And I didn't think as a young teenager, I was probably, 11 or 12, I think, at the time. I didn't think that I would be engaged with that kind of sound and music. But it was so engaging for me. It was quite overwhelming for me, and it really stirred something in my blood, as often the pipes do, and the drums, and all of just the whole get up, because when you prepare to be in a pipe band, you know, you have all the ornaments that go with it. You've got little daggers and things that you wear and brooches, and they all have a significant meaning, and you feel quite empowered once you start putting them all on and dressing yourself up, and it's quite an amazing feeling. But then you've got to get out there and play the side drums. That's, you know, then you had to go and do it.
It has been amazing. Like, what we didn't realise, because it's that bit further north, it was Scotland had a history of real connection with France, with Norway. And so, like, Mary, Queen of Scots, for example, she had been the Queen of France. So when she came back to Scotland, she brought quite a lot of the French court and quite a few of the European kind of ways with her. So they were very sophisticated. And yeah, there's all these centres of education, there's all these School of Medicine and all these places, but you don't hear about that kind of story. You just hear it from a different perspective. So yeah, it's those sorts of things and heaps more. I mean, I'm choosing the ones that are fairly neutral. I've heard all sorts of stories of intrigue and betrayal and all sorts of things well.
Lots and heaps in that culture. Mary Queen of Scots, she got her, she was, had her head taken off, huh?
Yep.
Yeah,
she did.
I went, my mum took me to the movies when I was a kid to go and watch that movie. That's how we
really?
Kind of like, it was in us. Yeah, it was like, my mum never went to the movies, but she took me to that one.
So wow.
Yeah, strong. Isn't it funny, the stories that we remember. Denise, you know, in your travels, you're hearing some truth behind the stories that for us out here, we hear like through a movie or through maybe history, a historic story that we just get a little snippet of, but not the whole the whole thing. In our memories, we tend to go to the, well, we'll go to the stories that we know, don't we? But often those stories that we want to go to can be the negative stories rather than the positive ones.
Yeah.
And I was reading in, because you kind of allude to that in your post about stories in our history, and but you go further on and you start talking about the stories that we remember as children, even in our own history, in our own family history. And I found this really interesting because, like I said, most of the time when we are reminded of something, we will go to our own memories of what that is. So maybe tell me a little bit about your blog in here, and I've probably thrown you in it now because you've got to try and find it. Where you start talking about... think of someone who was told, Denise. I'll try and find it now.
Yeah, that would be right.
Yeah,
that's the
right
one.
There.
Somebody who's...
There we go.
Someone who's told as a kid that, they were in the way, and
there
so they grew up their whole lives, and, I mean, this is a fictitious thing I thought of off the top of my head. I didn't have anyone in mind, but, you know, a kid who's been told that they're in the way and that's what they believe. So they're always trying to minimise themselves and keep to the side and not bother anybody and all that sort of thing. But then as an adult, when they have their own family, they realise, they remember back and think, actually, that was a mum who had, six young kids and she was frazzled and having a bad day. And now as an adult, if you stop and think about it, you're like, oh, my goodness, like, she was probably just having a moment of frustration of just saying, ah, move. But this person, you know, took that thing they heard as a kid and they've carried it all the way through and let it define everything that they do.
And it's that one I was interested in. So I think we'll go to a song and we're going to come back and unpack that a little bit more.
Komana to kumanga ko aroha te moana ko whanau tōku waka ko au e tu atu nei. Mana is my mountain and aroha is my sea. Whanau is my waka and all of that is me. Aha kua pā mā māu kei konei kwe. Though you are far away, I hold you near. I'll keep the home fires burning
by 660, such a nice one to put in there. Welcome Denise with us. We're listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters. Denise is over Glasgow way. How amazing is that? It's so good to have you
technology
here. Amen to that. And we're just unpacking some of her blog for this week. It was hot off the press this morning, and yeah, I encourage you to tune in and yeah, check out some of Denise's work. She's always giving us food for thought. So we were unpacking kind of memories and how we remember things. You know, some of it's culturally, you know, when we're overseas and we hear the stories of how our history, and we only hear parts of those stories. We don't often hear the fullness of what those stories are. So, and they get put into memory, and we can bring them back up, but we only know the little bit we've been told in those biggest stories in history. And often it's about us having to go a little bit deeper to find some real truth there, as Denise has done in her travels. But, you know, in her blog she was talking about, you know, some of the memories we might have as when we're young, and that brought me to my own experiencing. And I thought I might share a little bit of that too, maybe to help others when we get stuck in our memories and we get stuck somewhere believing something that may not be the full truth. And so, you know, reading Denise's blog, I was, you know, taken back to a time in my own life where I did my own counselling to work through a lot of the trauma that I'd been through in my younger years. And as I was doing my counselling, my counsellor, bless her heart, said to me to, you know, what was a good memory about my childhood with my mum. It was a very disturbing question for me because my memories would go straight to really bad memories. And my first response to her was, well, I don't have any good memories. And her challenge to me was over that next week was to go home and try and bring up one good memory that I had of my mum.
Wow.
Yeah, just one would do.
Just one.
Just one. But and it sounds terrible because I love my mum, bless her heart. You know, I'm a grown woman now and I can look back. And like you said in your blog, I understand where my mum came from, time of depression. She grew up pretty much in a tent, not with a lot. And alcoholic father. Really tough times. And she's got, you know, I don't know many of her stories, but the few that I do know were tough stories, you know. But I knew all this as an adult. I didn't know this as a kid. And, I can now look back and have a lot of empathy for my mum and realise, you know, why she reacted the way she did responded to her family the way she responded. But, at the time of my going through my journey of healing, that was not a question that I would ever have thought of bringing up for myself, a good memory of my mother. You know, I was almost like, I just kind of like sulked home, I think, after my session with my counsellor, like, whatever, I'm not going to do that. That was really hard work, Denise. My poor little brain got quite tired, quite exhausted.
Yeah.
So what you've written about in this blog about the memories that we hold and you know, there was a question in there, how do we deal with these past memories? Well, I guess for one of me, you know, for me, my counsel, like I say, bless her soul for that question because I'm a person who'll do the work and I did try really hard to find a good memory, and it didn't happen overnight because all my memories would bring up were bad memories and bad feelings.
Yeah.
Very, very disturbing for me. I had to slow everything down in my thinking to really kind of try and find something to land on. And I found a Christmas day where I was sitting at the table with my mum and we were making, I think they're called Cracker Jacks. You make them with streamers, yeah? They were,
yes. I've heard the, yeah.
I think that's what they're called. and the old-fashioned way of decorating your home for Christmas. We used to make all our own decorations. And I remember sitting at the table with my mum and we were making these green and red, we'll call them Cracker Jacks. I don't even know what they were. But they were decorations for Christmas. And it was just, it wasn't that I remembered much apart from having that time with her at the table and spending time making something together. And I remember laughter and I remember warmth. And there was some warmth that I felt from that memory that I had not felt from any memory I could ever bring up around my mum. Yeah. So that was the first kind of unpacking of my healing journey towards seeing my mum in a different light than I'd ever seen her before.
Wow.
Yeah. And my counsellor described this, and I've worked in this a lot with other people, is when we have cold memories, and they are simply that, cold memories. They're not places we want to go to. That is kind of what we remember first, and we do have to try and to heal that part of us. We need to find some warmth. We need to find some of those good, warm memories where we can go to, oh, that was really nice. I really enjoyed that moment. And her encouragement to me was to unpack that more and more. And so the more that, you know, you go to the memory and keep revisiting that memory, the bigger it becomes. It's like anything if we give it attention, you know. And so it is very cool, especially if we're stuck in those places where we think our parents were the biggest beasts out and they didn't do anything right. That's actually not the full story. There will be memories in there that are really beautiful family memories that get annihilated by these other ones.
When you describe that, the picture that comes to mind for me is like you're unplugging the bad memory, but if you don't plug something good in, you've just got an empty socket and anything could end up there. So you actually need to find that positive memory to slot into the spot and hold the position. Because otherwise the other one will just try and slide back in. It's like, nope, actually, let's hold the position with the good one.
You're so right. And it is practice. And I liked here you've got that's where curiosity comes in really handy, you know, and I love that word. So, you know, the word curiosity means we can step back from our emotional reaction to something and be curious about it. And so I can encourage that with people with the memories that don't feel so great. Sometimes we can just step back and be curious about that whole situation and not be so involved in it. And we can learn things from our curiosity. What else do you want to talk about that one in acceptance, Denise? You want to add anything in there?
Well, that particular story in acceptance.
Anything you want.
I had an interesting picture about acceptance that I ended up kind of threading through the blog, and that was the concept of like stepping stones or a climbing wall. I think if you're doing a climbing wall and you're trying to reach the next thing, sometimes you just actually can't reach it. You've got to find somewhere in the interim. Or even with stepping stones, you know, if you go one way, you end up sort of off the path a little bit. You're sort of stranded on a rock. But to get to the next rock you need to get to, you have to backtrack and get back to one of the ones that actually leads on. So that was a concept that I kind of played with through the blog a little bit of, you know, getting that acceptance being that key rock or stepping stone or place that you kind of need to get back to before you can move forward.
So we don't always land where we want to land. There's an interim place first. You know, that with those, you know, like if the step's too big, we need something in between to help us get to that next step. If we take a leap, we could fly off the edge maybe.
Yeah, so I mean, for somebody who's, you know, had something go on pretty major, and it's like, no, it's too, you know, it's too hard to deal with it. It's too hard to even look at it. It's too hard to all these things that they might, you know, I can't go see someone for help. I can't, you know, every time I think about it, their emotions go crazy. For these sort of situations, that thing is to come back to actually that thing happened. And it's not saying that was a good thing at all. In fact, if you're struggling to deal with it, it's high chance that it wasn't a good thing. But to just be able to say that happened, now what?
And I've certainly got many of those ones in my life, that happened moments, and had to work through that and not get stuck there, Denise. You know, memories can make us be stuck in the ways that we respond or react to others, instead of trying to find that new ground that we often talk about. In here, you've got acceptance. When we're climbing a rock face or jumping across a river, there are some places that we just can't reach without landing somewhere in the interim. Acceptance is that place, not shame, not reaction, not justification, acceptance. I really like that you bring in the word shame, which is really in the title of your blog this week. It's such a strong word, that one. You know, shame is a word that will shut us down. It'll stop us from speaking or anything. It just kind of, yeah. And I kind of want to let people know that shame is not something that we do to ourselves. Shame comes from the outside in. It's often put on us. It's the eyes that see us and the voices that speak into that that bring shame. Embarrassment or knowing that we've done something wrong comes from within ourselves. But shame comes from the outside, which is interesting. You know, I know. You've got in here, shall I read this one? If we jump to justification in the interim, it's too far to leap to the next landing spot. Exploring the reasons or excuses of why we did what we did doesn't change anything. It keeps us paralyzed. We can't get to the next spot. We have to go back to the place of acceptance. Interesting, Danos. I could stay in these places forever. Shame will shut us down. Acceptance or being curious about something opens the door back up to experience something. Yeah.
Yeah. And I talked about shame being like a garment that you, if you're feeling shame, I think you end up, your self-talk keeps you there. And so you wrap yourself deeper and deeper and deeper and you just feel more and more and more shameful.
It's layer upon layer, isn't it? But it's hard to get out from under it. And it is layer upon layer that holds us within it. And we often can forget the shame until somebody brings it up. And there's the memory.
And you're right back there.
Yeah.
And so your reaction is, one from that shame that you're carrying from something that happened way, way long ago that probably is something, it was embarrassing, but it wasn't something that carried a shame to. I don't know. When we do something really wrong, all of us do stuff that's wrong.
Mm.
And we know that. And everybody makes mistakes and everybody makes wrong choices. And some people can kind of move on from that and go, oh, but others, stay in that place of shame and they're beating themselves up and saying, perspective of such and such will hate me because of this. And so they put themselves in this position of just going, okay, well, because I've done that, I'm never going to be able to, I'm never going to be able to go to college. I'm never going to be able to step into my potential. I'm never going to be able to make right choices again. I'm never going to be able to change. I think if we get into that shame cycle, it's self-perpetuating until we can step out of it.
I think that shame cycle has been there most of my life, in the beginning years, Denise, and now looking back, I can certainly see how it definitely shut me down and kept me in, even in friendship groups that I didn't particularly, they weren't healthy for me and weren't healthy places for me to be, but my shame kind of trapped me there in the belief system that that's who I was and that's about as good as it's going to get, baby.
And those people who aren't necessarily good for us will pick up on our shame and will use it to manipulate us and hold us down often.
So it's a cycle that we continue to go round and round in until we want to pop out of it and start to realize that there are more stories and more memories that we have that aren't just these ones that we keep going to that tend to hold us in that pattern or place of not feeling good enough. So we're going to head into another song and we will be back.
Here's to your God, here's to your kids. I heard you were in the neighborhood. hood. I've been a long time on the skid, and baby, I'm beside you. You run from the river when it long ran over you. This is for you standing up to a bone chilling wind. This is for the failures you collected from my sins. And this is for your lonesome tears I never dry. This is for you hanging in the hope that it never dies. And baby, I'm beside you. You run from the river when long went over you. Yeah. This is for you waiting up, though the call never came. For the milk of humankind says you collected from our dream. And this is for your lonesome tears I never dry. This is for you hanging.
Dave Dobbin, good old Kiwiana there, eh? How are we going, Denise? Are you on? Eh? No, she's not, is she? Oh, I had you on the wrong one, Denise. See?
Oh,
I've got no excuse. All right, it's not 1 o'clock in the morning here. Okay,
dear.
So let's keep looking at this beautiful blog of yours that I encourage people to go on and have a look. Let's just give that information where they can find it again, Denise.
Just on my website, Denise, Denise. .nz. Very, very simple.
Very easy.
I didn't put my surname on there, although my surname's on my Facebook page. Everyone spells it wrong, so I was like, I can't put it in my website because no one will be able to find it ever.
You know that Denise was going under Denise J. Gardner.
Yeah. Well, I am. And
she is. This is a true story. Come on.
When I do my book, that'll be my name. Because I did a Google on different authors, and there's a couple of Denise Gardners around the world who have written, like, one book, and that's it. And so I was like, well, somebody tried to. No, it's not. It turns out I've got all these things I want to write about. So fun. Oh, but anyway,
so cool.
I had to make myself look different from them, so I was going to go like DJ Gardner, but when I put that in, it kept saying to me, are you sure you didn't want GJ Gardner? Like, you know, it's a GJ Gardner home.
I was going to say Day. Why not dovetail on some of that advertising? Look how many people you get on board.
Yeah, the people who can't spell.
Yeah, well, so, actually, anyway. I just receive it that way anyway, Denise, because I'm dyslexic, so it just sounds like DJ Gard, whatever that other one was. It all sounds. Yeah. I just think of the advert. So there you go. You're right. That's what we tend to go to.
Yeah. So that's why I landed on Denise J. Gardner. If you needed to know the backstory, that's it right there.
Here's the truth to the backstory. We're going to keep looking at this. Okay, so look, Denise's blog, we're about three quarters of the way through it now. I'm going to start at this one. Emotions like shame and anger might try and rear their heads again from time to time, but consciously choosing to step into the place of acceptance will position us to move forward again.
Great.
That is great.
What I was thinking about there is, so I talked a little bit earlier about, like, you have an initial emotion. So your emotion that, you know, say somebody didn't turn up, they were supposed to meet you, and you feel a bit hurt or a bit disappointed, or you're a bit concerned that they are okay. You know, you sort of have those initial thoughts, but then you get angry. And you're just like, rah, they didn't turn up, and, you know, you get cross at them, or, you know, or that shame thing, like something's happened or you've done something and you're a bit embarrassed and you hope that somebody didn't see it, but they have, and now you're just like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, and we've all had those ones. I tell you what, there is no privacy these days, so we've all got those ones, Denise.
I know, that's true. So, yeah, so there's things like that. But, you know, you have your initial thought, but then you've got this backup, like, defense, almost a masking a defense mechanism of this other emotion that comes in the way. And so that's why I chose the, you know, anger or shame might rear themselves up, because those are not the initial. It's not the hurt or the disappointment or the concern. It's that mask thing that's coming up that you've kind of put on. Now that's the emotion that you bring up when you think about that thing.
The masks we wear. You know, there's a book called that, Denise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Look, you have to Google that one. The masks we wear. You won't want to read it because it's one of the books I did in my training. Yeah. It's too big. But interestingly, you're right. The masks we wear. It's like the hats we wear. You know, you've heard of that saying too. The hats we put on. Different times, the masks we wear in different situations. But the question is, who are we when we unmask ourselves? Who is our authentic self?
Yes, and that's just the uncomfortable. So that's what I'm talking about, accepting. Like, to be able to accept that thing, we have to allow ourselves to sit in that uncomfortable and feel perhaps some of those emotions that first hit us, like the concern or the hurt or the disappointment, but that's not a fun place to be. Yeah.
And so, I'm just going to put in there that anger is actually a secondary emotion, that our first feeling is actually we're hurting. But none of us want to go to hurt. We never want to go there because it affects us. We have to do something about it. Like, we might get an emotional reaction from that, and it's a sad reaction. So we go to anger because anger needs to be justified, and anger needs to be in control and loud and aggressive, you know, and it can shut a room down very quickly. So, you know, the way we use our emotions, you know, whether we move to acceptance or whether we want to head towards the negative, it's hard to make those choices in the moment, but if we practice it,
we can. Well, that's the thing, and so if you start to find something coming up like anger or shame or something, you know that it's the secondary version. It's not the initial thing. So if you're, if those sort of come in as a temptation and you want to react, like, so I, a few years ago, I used to be a really angry person. When I flipped into anger mode, you watch
did
out.
Not.
I really was. And I can remember the first time that I dealt with it, and then one of the kids did something, and I literally, I stood there, and I felt this wave of anger wash over me, and I chose not to react. So normally I just, but I just stood there and allowed myself to be silent, and the wave passed over as quickly as it had come, and I was standing there going, wow, did that just happen? And what I realized then was that from that point on, I had a choice. If I felt anger, I didn't have to react. I had a choice to either just experience that anger and let it roll by, or I could react. And so some days, if I was having a particularly bad day, I might still react. But I now know that I have a choice. When I feel anger, I didn't realize it used to be anger trigger, like anger reaction, like there was no gap. I just didn't know that there was an option. And once I experienced that once, I was just like, wow, is that even a thing? I just didn't know.
That is so cool, Denise, because I can so relate to that. I have that memory in me too. When it seems to come out when we have our children. the authentic self, maybe, we start to learn who we are. And I remember that too, because I always thought I was going to be the best mother in the world. I was going to do all this stuff with my kids and rah, 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 rah. And then reality hits and, I was a solo mum. And I had two kiddies on my own for many years. That first initial shock of disciplining my kids, terrible word, isn't it? What sort of word is that, disciplining? Are we allowed to use that one these days?
Depends how you go about it.
A good word. bringing them into line, whatever floats your boat. when I didn't get the response I wanted from my children, this part of me came out that was very much like my mother, and it really scared me. I remember in the moment, I was like, this is not me, this is not how I not how I want to react, because it really wasn't. I really wanted to love on my kids and let them know that they were in a warm, safe environment and loved, and if nothing else matters, really. You might not have all the money in the world and be able to provide everything, but if there's love in the home, and safety, it's foundational. So I too in that moment made a choice. I recognized it, which I was really thankful for, and I knew that's not how I wanted to react. It wasn't me. Then I had to figure out, well, how do I want to react? And I hadn't quite figured that one out. I had to leave silence. I had to leave moments. Mm-hmm. And that's really, this is where we start to develop as human beings, when we go to those hard edges and don't do what we normally do, take on that new ground. What's the newness here? And what did it produce for me? Well, gosh, the relationship with my kids, my communication, to sit and chat, to hear what they were doing and not react to it, but come alongside it and go, hey, you're probably doing a lot better than I ever did at my age. You're actually doing great, and to be their champion and not the one trying to actually chop them off at the knees. So that continuously choosing to step into a place of acceptance, or that new ground, or doing something differently, it's not a one-hit wonder. We have to practice it, don't we, Denise?
That's right. And even something like with your kids, when they do something terrible, or just like even just taking them to the supermarket and they have a fit and you can't make them be quiet, like It's okay to be embarrassed.
Oh, it's so hard when we're young, though, to tell our younger self that it was so embarrassing. But now I think we've got some years behind us and we can go, oh, it wasn't that bad.
But then you see someone else in the supermarket and you can feel your judgmental self coming out, and you have to tell yourself off and go, actually, they are doing the best they can, and that kid will learn not to do that one day. But for now, they're just in this awful, awkward situation. You can smile and be supportive to the parent and go, you know what, you're doing a great job.
Yeah. What a relief that is.
Imagine doing that.
I know. the parent would be like, what? What'd you say?
Exactly.
Well, we need some of that encouragement. We're going to head into another song. This is called Feel Again, and we're going to be back on soon.
Wasted love, wasted time, wasted yours and I wasted mine. Won't feel again. Unsaid words, unlived nights, unfelt feelings and uncrossed lines. Wanna feel again.
Tomorrow, this goes tonight. walk into a city I cannot see. Through the depths of the valley where the sun can't reach. I've been high, I've been low, I've been looking for the river that could fill my soul. Been walking to a city I cannot see.
My cup, indeed. Overflowing would be good. You're listening to Maria and Denise on Faith Matters 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. Place to be. It certainly is, because we've got Denise coming in from Glasgow.
Yeah, it's a place to be on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, so I'm sitting here in this great studio of ours here in Whangarei. And it's the middle of the day, and Denise is sitting in Glasgow in her hotel, finding a peaceful lobby. And it's probably about, what, nearly 2 o'clock now in the morning?
Yep, after 2 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, isn't she awesome? I mean, I'm going to go home. And I'm going to go home and have a coffee. She's going to go, oh man, I don't even know. I'm going to go to sleep now. I miss you here
in town when you could sit in your lobby talking with somebody on the other side of the world.
Well, I tell you what, at some stage, Denise, when you're next on air, because she will be on her travels, I'd like a whole bunch of people with you saying hello from all the different places.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to have a group. We're going to have a group meeting here. We're going to have a group party. All right? In some Glasgow pub somewhere, all right? With Scottish music in the background. I'm flying over. You're having all the fun. You're having all the fun. Never mind. Some of us have got to work, eh? Now, back to your blog. back to this amazing blog, and it is an
what
amazing
one. What on earth did you choose this blog for? Why didn't you choose last week?
Yeah, last week's blog. She's already growled me off here. She already said to me, why didn't you choose last week's blog? I said to her because it was too placid. It was way too nice. Last week's one was just airy, fairy, beautiful. Sunshine and happiness. Whereas this one, you know, we got some meat in here and I like to get to some meaty places, you know, where we can unpack, you know, not just niceties, but where we get to the hard edge. Typical me. But we're nearly through this blog now. Now you've made me lose my space where I was. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, here we go.
You were going to say... I don't know. What were you going to say?
Okay, where you are stuck somewhere or not. Okay, so I need to start before that. Here it is. All of us have a story. All of us have experienced joys and the hard stuff. Our story is both unique to us and common to many. You are not an isolated island. You have affected others and been impacted by those around you, even when you don't realise it. You know, we were talking about shame before and how it can keep us stuck in places, you know, and both you and I have a faith and we love our faith and we're quite honest about it. We don't have a problem with it, but I know for me, talking about God and Christianity can be a hard place with people, Denise, because they hold stories there of what, you know, they may have a story in them of some Christian back in the day who spoke something and it was a terrible controlling thing or it affected them in a way that they had an angry reaction to it and they shut down from the whole conversation after that and then little old me or you come along and have a conversation with them and we bring up all those bad memories for them and they get reactive. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard because when you're trying to tell your story and you're just sharing your own experience, not wanting to hurt anybody, but often, you know, when we talk about our faith, we do come against those hard walls, Denise.
And people have got their stories, but well, we were just chatting about it off air, what a challenge it would be for someone, like you're talking about your story with your mum and how you had these bad memories and you were encouraged by it. You didn't have to, but you actually chose to act on your suggestion by the counsellor to try and find something good. And actually what I was going to write my blog on when I wrote only about two sentences on it before this subject came out for some reason, I was going to write it on what you look for is what you find. So, you know, if you're focused on, you know, this thing's happened in your past, that you've got this, a bit of a, you know, whatever, somebody's been real judgy and said something awful, that's potentially what you're now looking for. So every time you see someone who is labelled a Christian who is judgy, you'll go, ha, see?
Yeah,
because
I know
that
this.
Supports your belief.
Yeah, true that. Yeah.
I know some Christians. I'm a Christian and I know some Christians who are judgy. But I also know some Christians who are not.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? Yeah. Christians are actually people. And just because they follow Jesus doesn't mean that they're all on the same stage of the journey. And it doesn't mean that they have all grown to a stage that you would find acceptable. But maybe there are some out there that do have some positive qualities, and maybe it's about searching for a good story amongst the pain and the hurt that you might have experienced from someone else. I don't know. How's that for a challenge?
Well, that's a great challenge, I think, Denise. You and I both have grown up. Well, I'm grown up in the Christian environment, but in my later years, obviously. But you have, and so there's always going to be stories in there that we've seen things that haven't gone well, where an individual has done something that's not good. But you know, we're all got our own journeys that we're on and our own experiences of why we've come to where we are and the faith that we have. And we don't come here because of someone else's controlling way to manipulate our emotions to get us here. We've done this journey because we've had experience and we've experienced God and Jesus, Holy Spirit in our lives where that's had an impact on us in a really healthy, good way. And, you know, we have to be honest, both of us, that we, like I said, we have stories in us of people who haven't done it so well. But that's not the end of the story. There's no way near the end of the story.
But we can acknowledge that. We can go, okay, there are people who, you know, it's that person, and you get to know that person and their tendencies, and you can actually choose to still engage with them with, you know, aware of where they're coming from and choose not to get offended because actually that's that person. Or you can, you know, keep your distance and go, actually, I really can't handle that, that's not okay, that's not safe for me, whatever. When you know the person, then you can make that call.
Yes.
Just the same as any person you'd come across anywhere, whether they happen to be going to church or not going to church is actually completely irrelevant.
Amen to that. Because it's hard ground. I love talking about where God has worked in my life, where I've seen that in real ways. And sometimes I feel a little bit shy to express that because of the feedback I might get or the disbelief, you know, in my own story. What's my story? How can I, you know? So it's hard when we give that out and somebody might have a reaction to that. You know, as I get older.
Well, I'll tell you what, somebody can try and shut you down because they find your story confronting, and or they might be concerned for their own reputation and they're trying to shut you down because they don't want anyone to think badly of them. So, you know, I have that. I've got somebody I know who was treated extremely badly in a church setting. In fact, you would call it spiritual abuse and worse. And they got shut down. And it's not a healthy space to be in. And so we actually just need to be able to let people tell their story, be who they are, and not try and throw stuff in their face to try, you know, Christian or not, to try and shut them down. People need to be able to go on their own journey of healing and to be able to process stuff without extra baggage of people trying to say, no, you can't talk about that. It's like, really?
Yeah, that's more to do with, say, the other person than it is the one who's going through.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we have to face that stuff because in our faith, this is where it gets, this is where, you know, we hit those hard edges where it's more about me than it is about the other person. What do I need to develop, or what attitude in me is coming, is rising to the front now? In this situation that I really need to look at and unpack for myself and stop blaming other people when it's actually got nothing to do with them. It's got everything to do with me. And that's part of our faith, is really we do tend to, well, I'm hopeful as we mature and get stronger in who we are that we do take that on and look at ourselves. And, you know, when I look at the nature of Jesus and who he was, how he represented himself and who he is in God, you know, these natural ways of responding that had nothing to do with judgment or control or manipulation or getting somebody to do something that I want them to do. There was always a heart response and an individual response, not a cultural response, not a group response or even a whānau response, but just individually. He saw each one as who they were, their authentic self. Warts and all, Denise.
I mean, I have to go. I mean, I don't put it in my blog because I don't want my blog to be a sort of thing that people get turned off by. But the reality is that we can take our hurt and our shame and our pain to God, and he can carry it for us. There's a verse that says, cast all your cares or your burdens upon me. We can give them to him and he carries them. But the cool thing is when he carries them, that actually the weight comes off us We actually are able to walk free. And that is the difference between someone who's really following Jesus and who is growing in their journey and one who is not. It's not that bad things don't happen to us. It's not that we don't do bad things. But when we realize, we can actually go back to God and say, God, look, you know, I've got this shame. Oh, my goodness, this thing's happened. You know, you might have taken it beyond embarrassment to actually walking in shame. But he can take that and he can actually restore you to a person who has a future and a hope, and you can actually start to dream again, and you can actually start to be yourself and learn, you know, different ways of doing things. And that's the amazing thing about being able to bring our stuff to Jesus.
You're speaking into my life there, Denise. you just almost like spoke it all out there, that process. And I totally agree. There's been some instances in my life that would have absolutely taken me out if I didn't have my faith and the grace of God and the His healing over my mind and my heart and my spirit, and a strengthening and conviction in me of who I am. Quite amazing.
I just think that's huge, because
it's massive. It's so freeing. Yeah. We can't even speak into how big this is. We use a language, but it's never going to describe the impact God's grace has over the things that we're meant to really take us out in life. It's life-giving. So this is, to me, the most encouraging thing we could ever talk about, Denise, is the grace of God, that peace in us.
And so there are some people who are still early on in their, well, maybe not early on in their walk, but they might have got stuck on the whole, you know, stuck on the rules and the, you know, you should be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that, and that's often what people will throw in our face, you know, but you say you're a Christian, how could you do that?
I'm
also
statement.
A human.
But you said, are you a Christian? Don't we just love that comeback line? Oh, Denise, we're going to head into another song and then we'll be back and we're going to close up the show. So we're going to head into For King and Country, For God Is With Us.
Dare to imagine, dare to believe in a true love that gave us a brand new beginning. No room for a king, no celebration and no ceremony in that little town, no nobody will think. This is the story of the coming glory. Can you hear the prayers the people pray? Can you see the sky begin to break when heaven and earth were face to face? Oh, how the world forever changed, for God is with us. Dare to believe in
true love that gave us a reason for leaving. Can you feel the hope that's rushing in?
God is with us.
Amen. Here we go, Denise. We're coming to the end of our show.
Whoa. I can go back to bed soon.
No, it's not. Ah, you're wide awake now. I reckon you should go down the lobby and wake some people up. Let them know what you've been doing. You should have a little on-air sign walking around so we can gather some people. And
there was another lady down in the lobby plus two guys at reception. So, like, I could have sort of had a party.
You could have.
Yeah.
next time I have an expectation there's going to be some different people from overseas clicking in. That's all good. You want to put some people on the show. We just might have to make the time frame a bit nicer for you. I'm not sure when we're going to get Denise back on. Next week I've got a teenager on, and she's going to be talking about her experiences growing up here in Raglan in her faith, and I'm really looking forward to hearing from her. And the week after we'll probably have Denise back on, so we'll see where she's at and what her internet is like. But let's head out of this beautiful blog that we've been working through, and we were talking about God's grace and you know, kind of for you and me and many others, what that's meant for us in our life, and that freeing place of being accepted in who we are, and even the things that we might have done, and the things that have been done to us too, even though that's not acceptable at all, full stop.
Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, stuff can happen to us that's absolutely not okay. But it happened, and that's the point, that we've just got to go, actually, that happened, and here I am here. Now what?
Yeah, I think just with that little thought, in the moment or even in the few years when something has happened that's really traumatic, we don't understand, we haven't worked through the impact of that in our lives over those first few years if it has really damaged us. But what I can say further down the track, the things that I've experienced in my life, I wouldn't know what I know now without those experiences. I probably wouldn't have such compassion or insight, or just don't judge, you know. I know everyone's got a story, and we all come from somewhere and we're all going somewhere, you know, and we're all trying to find our way in this life that we're in. You know, and I can choose at any time to not be a part of someone else's story too. So there's power in that. You know, heading out of this blog, we've got, I'm just going to read this bit here, where you are stuck somewhere. I've read that one. No. As nations and as people, we all have a story. Let's find the place of acceptance of our stories and move forward, making the next best decision. I really like that ending, because I think as nations we do have our story. In Aotearoa, we have a story. We have our Treaty of Waitangi story, which I'd love the truth to be spoken there, and not just maybe some of the stories that are floating around coming out from government right now. I'd like the truth of what was signed back there in the heart that it was signed, our treaty was signed in, and that brought forward, so we don't forget the stories of our old people and what they were actually trying to tell us back then, so we could survive here and now. So that's my little in there.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, I've been hearing these stories in Scotland of stuff that happened, and, you know, that's what made me think about this blog, because people could get stuck in those stories and they could, you know, still be living out of trauma that was generations ago very easily. And then it made me think, well, at home there are stories of traumas that happened generations ago, and for some they still allow those to impact their everyday. And like, I think if we can go, that happened, and actually start to work through some of that stuff, whether it's towards reconciliation or whether it's actually dealing with our own emotions because of our own stuff that comes up when it gets talked about, then if we can come to that place of acceptance, then what would it look like to move forward as a country making good decisions from here on in? You know, this stuff has happened, and we all know that it wasn't great, but how could we move forward from there? What does that look like? What actually needs to happen? Yeah, that was my thinking.
Yeah. And let's not keep God out of that story, because that'll give us some good ground to stand on when it comes to grace. How we can extend that, and maybe we can pull out some good stories. Well, that's us, Denise. Again, I encourage people to subscribe to Denise's blog, and I don't know if you'll get one every week at the moment, because she's travelling around and she's pretty busy doing what she's doing. Yeah.
I'm trying to get one out each week.
She gave me the look. I can see that look all the way from Glasgow. Ah, Denise, I do miss you. She is still away for another couple of months, but that's okay, because we will have her connecting in. We're going to hear some of her stories, I'm sure. But like I say, I think at some stage I'd love you to connect in with some others around you, and just some of that atmosphere. Maybe you could,
I don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like. But
during the day at lunchtime in some full cafe of all these
foreigners. Yeah, see, that's completely different. But at one, that's what, 2:30 in the morning
right now?
You've
done amazing.
Now? I don't see a whole lot of people gathering. No.
And you look wide awake now. I'm so sorry about that.
That's
many
fine.
Blessings to you, Denise. Don't you go away. We're gonna go off air, but yeah, you just stick around there for a bit. So hey, it's been so good tuning in with Denise today and hearing her voice, and just being unpacking her blog. Hey, if you're on a faith journey, like many of us, and you want to find out more about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're welcome to join me and others on Sunday morning, 10 a.m., Raglan Area School. We've got Pastor Roger carrying on in the series of Romans. It's now entitled Fruitfulness. So we're looking at the season of fruitfulness. That's a good one. Ooh, good season to be in. We're heading into spring. This is the time to be hearing about fruitfulness and buds blooming and new fruits and new growth. So, if you want to know more about that, you can join me and many others from our community, 10 a.m. Raglan Area School, Sunday morning. Otherwise, I'm going to head out with the fuzzy robes and the Lord's Prayer. Have a blessed weekend. Be kind and gentle to self and others. And I'll see you here next Friday. Well, I won't see you, but well, hear my voice, I suppose. Yes, you will. So see you later and take care.